All right. If you have your Bibles, we're going to read two portions now, Isaiah 45 and then Jeremiah chapter 10. So let's start with Isaiah chapter 45. This is our school of prayer. And what we are going to do today, once again, is to pray. But as usual, we have to decode the scripture. You know, we said it before. These are our incantations, our book of Psalms. A book of the Word of God. That's what the Bible is. In fact, on Saturday, I'm going to explain what the Bible is. Is that okay? How come we claim the Bible is the Word of God? Have you ever thought about that? They just gave it to you as a child. But there's a reason. There's a reason. And the reason is simple. Because we believe in Jesus Christ. Every other thing is a testimony from His mouth and concerning Him. And that's why we believe in the book in our hands called the Holy Bible. And in it, we have coded words which we use in prayer. In it, we have coded words which we use to approach God. He doesn't understand any other language. There's only one language in the universe that God understands, and that's is the Word. Do you understand my point? Somebody said that this man I listened to, he taught me a lot of things. Like a preacher, I told you that he talks funny, but I still listen to him anyway. He's a Greek scholar. It's one of the qualifications he has, and he explained how the Koine Greek, which is the language in which the New Testament was written, was born. That the language was essentially invented by Alexander the Great because he wanted to be able to communicate with, number one, his soldiers, and then all the nations of the earth that he was ruling over. And he spoke only one language, and that was Koine Greek. Though he was very intelligent, he could learn any language, but he didn't see why he should learn any language. So if he conquered, let's say, Nigeria as an example those days, when he got down here, every Nigerian had to learn Koine Greek. Otherwise, he couldn't function. All right? So that's how he established Greek as a very, very as a very popular language. Not just Greek, but in particular new invention of Greek. There were different kinds of Greek language, all right? There were different kinds of Greeks that people spoke. But he coined one which he called the Koine Greek, that is the common Greek. That's what they called it. And that's what the New Testament is written in, Koine Greek. Now, what I'm trying to say here is this. He was the ruler of virtually the whole inhabited world, and everybody had to speak his language to communicate with him. And that's just the way God is. The language that God understands is His Word, is His language of His Word. So, you know, if you think you can manufacture big English to impress God, forget it. You won't get far. If you want to ask God for something, John said, we must ask according to His will. And that's what he's talking about, the Word of God. He said, if we ask according to His will, He hears us. And once God hears, it is taken for granted that He has granted it. That is, God answers every prayer that He hears. But a lot of prayers he doesn't hear. That is, it doesn't get to his ears. So sometimes he will sit down and be praying and praying and praying and praying. At the end of the day, God didn't hear a word that they spoke. He knew they were talking, but he said they were not talking to me. They were just talking. And that's what the Bible calls vain repetitions. You know the meaning of the word vain repetitions? When you say something again and again and it's not making any meaning. You get what I'm explaining? Alright, that's the way it goes. So what we do, therefore, is we decode the language of God. Because number one, that's the one God hears. And secondly, that's the one the angels understand. And angels must understand you. And you know the reason why that's the only one they understand? Quickly open to Psalm 103. He said, bless the Lord, you his angels. That's verse 20 of Psalm 103. Mighty in strength, who perform his word, obeying the voice of his word. That is, if you notice something here, once they hear a voice that is uttering the language of God, they understand and they obey. That is, once they hear the voice of the Word of God. Why the Bible uses the word voice of His Word is that it's not only God that speaks His Word. God's children can speak the Word of God. And once they utter that voice, once it is the Word or the language of God, even angels respond. That is, I'm coming to another level. I'm talking about God understanding. I'm talking about angels understanding. And now, let me bring the next level to it. Because God created this universe, you see, everything has an ear. Do you know that? Everything has an ear. Computers have ears. Tables have ears. Money has ears. Your body has ears, you know. I don't mean this one. Your ear has ears. Do you understand what I'm explaining? Your head has ears. And I don't mean this ear. I mean everything has an ear. Your job has an ear. Your career has an ear. Plants have ears. One day Jesus looked and spoke to a plant. And the moment he uttered death and the plant heard it, the plant died from its root. But the problem, in fact, you know, is this days, I now understand some more things. Like those days, they used to say something. You know, we used to watch a lot of plays on TV. So you see two babalawos fighting, or one man telling somebody another thing. And this is a man who's learned in the verses of the Spirit. So he will say something like, if I tell that plant its proper name, All right? It will answer me. I don't know whether you're understanding. That, what's happening? He said, it's not responding. He said, call it by its real name. I don't know whether you get my point. You may call it, maybe it's Iroko tree. That's what everybody calls it. But he knows that that particular tree has a name in the realm of the spirit. And if he can call that name, do you know what I'm saying? The tree will hear and it will fall over. What I'm telling is a matter of fact. Everything has ears. All right? They all understand. This is what I'm going to. They all understand the voice of the word of God. So when the word uttered, Jesus Christ, when the personification of the word of God, he said, this tree, hear me. Nobody will eat fruit from you again. The tree quickly had the conference with itself. Say, how will it be that nobody will eat fruit from us again? He said, we will die from the root. It's okay, now let's start dying now. You get the concept? Listen to me. No, that's the way it works. If you discover the word of God, are you getting my point? If you utter, if your voice, your life is transformed so that when you speak, it is the voice of God that is heard, life will respond to you. Did you hear what I said? Look, listen. The breeze will be blowing. Jesus will get up and say, who's talking? Peace! The word in the Greek is that he rebuked. He's like slapping somebody. Come on, be quiet. I don't know whether you understand my point. The Bible says he rebuked the wind. The word rebuked there was like he spoke, he belittled the wind. He spoke down at it like, who is that? Be quiet. You don't talk when I'm standing. And the breeze heard it. You know, the storm heard it. The waves became still. I was discussing my wife today. How many of you know there's one volcano that's belching in Iceland? In Iceland, volcano belched ashes into the air. And Kenya is losing $1 million a day. Why? All the fruits and flowers, they fly to Europe. Can't fly. They are decaying there in Kenya. Are you getting my point? That volcano, in fact, I was now reading this Bible. It said that God is the judge of all the earth. And that when he walked by, the earth trembled. I said, God walked by Iceland. You know, life helps you understand the word of God. That one day God was just passing. He passed by one place in China. Buildings collapsed. Please, I hope you're getting what I'm saying. Oh, God. Anyway, let me not sit down here. Otherwise, I will end up preaching to you today. So let me try my best not to preach. The Lord is good. I'm just saying something that everything has ears. Those volcanoes, they have ears. If somebody that is there and is important in God's presence and who has discovered the word of God says, enough ashes. Oh, yeah, ashes back into your hole. The ashes will gather and then I say, guys, Kenya is looking losing $1 million a day. And this man of God, this child of God, this voice of God said, it is enough. They will gather ashes, will rearrange. You wake up one morning, they've all flushed themselves into the sea. That's why, as believers, we don't go around wasting time. Do you hear what I said? No. You settle down. You know, I've been telling my wife, God has been arranging for her so that she can't go to many places. She's been at home a lot of times these days. I said, it's good. You read plenty Bible. Next time you go out, you talk. The earth will know you have come out. What you will have achieved in 1 week, you achieve in 2 hours. Why? Because this time around, you're not struggling and laboring. You utter words. Before Adam fell, you think Adam needed Cain to be heading all the animals? The theory was that my sheep must know my voice. Are you getting my point? So what will happen? Adam will come out and talk. And the lions will say that Adam has come out to speak. And they will go to go and listen. We didn't need to set trap for anybody. And what God is making every one of us in life is that we'll be kings in our own garden. So that if you are in one line of business or career or one area of influence, ministry, whatever it is, when you speak, are you getting my point? The elements of the air, of the realm of the spirit, of physical things, they will hear the voice of God. The problem is that we talk empty talk. Your mouth can be moving all the time. Doesn't mean you are saying anything. I like the way T.D. Jakes said it. He said, no truly powerful person talks all the time. That when God utters a word, Abraham will be... You know, it's now you come to Bible study every day. God will tell Abraham something once. The next 15 years, Abraham is still trying to catch up with what he heard 15 years ago. So David said, once he has spoken... But I don't hear it once. It bounces, I hear it again. It bounces. He said, twice I have heard it. What I'm saying here is this. The voice of God being so powerful, all right, he utters once, and we are still running after fulfilling that single one. It's not the matter, it's not the multitude of words. It's the weight inside the word. How do we get weight into our words? It's by drinking, do you get my point? Of the voice, the word of God. So that when we now utter, God knows somebody is talking. The angels start responding, and even the physical earth rearranges to fulfill the word of God that has come forth from your mouth. Don't just talk anything. Every situation in life has a word. Every situation in life has a word. That was why when David went into the dry places, he said, no, I am not coming to come and look for water. What am I looking for? Seeking after God. I want to see the face of God because God has a word. I'm putting my own words to it now for that dry situation. Please, I hope you understand what I've said. So that's why we read these things. We have to decode them so that we know exactly what God is saying, and then we can utter what God is saying, and then our voices, all right, will resound in the realm of the Spirit. Now, I said we should open somewhere. I'm going to title our prayers today, the meditations to precede our prayer, Magnify the Lord. What did I say? Isaiah chapter 45, verse 4. Actually, God was speaking here, all right, to Cyrus. This was a prophetic word concerning the life of Cyrus, who was going to free the nation of Israel from bondage. He said, for the sake of Jacob, my servant, and Israel, my chosen one, I have also called you by my name. That he was saying that, let me say that, that first started from halfway through. But he was saying that I will do these things for you, and that's for the sake of Jacob, my servant, and Israel, my chosen one. He said, I have also called you by your name. I have given you a title of honor, though you have not known me. Now, please, verse 5 is where I want us to read. I am God and there is no other. Besides me, there is no God. I will guide you, though you have not known me, that men may know from the rising of the sun, rising to the setting of the sun, that there is no one besides me. I am the Lord and there is no other, the one forming light and creating darkness, causing well-being and creating calamity. I am the Lord who does all these. Now, today we are meditating on what? Alright. Now, please, I want you to understand something. Why I read this portion of the scriptures. God is saying here, I am God and there is no other. He said, I am the Lord and there is none other. Besides me, there is no God. When we use the name God, God is a title. Do you hear what I said? You know, Jehovah Witnesses try to tell us that the proper name of God is Jehovah. Even that one is a title. It's not his name. And let me explain what I'm saying. Who gave birth to him that on the eighth day he christened him and said, your name will be this? God doesn't even understand the concept of giving him a name. In which language? I've told you from the realm of the Spirit. In all these things, all right? They don't have any meaning. There's a voice in the realm of the Spirit. So you can't say this is God's name, as in Emeka. Whatever you call God is a title. Whatever you call him is a reflection of a position that he holds in life. So when he uses the name God in itself, that thing is saying something. He's saying that I'm the creator. That's why God said it here. He explained it. He said, I create well-being, one that does all these things. Nobody else tried to play God. I don't know what I hear and say. Like Nepal will come and say, we create light and we produce darkness. God says, shut up. What do you know about the formation of light? So people who are looking for light, they want the favor of NEPA. Do you get my point? Or PhDN. But God said, no, it's not like that. I am God that creates light. I hope you're getting what I'm saying. So I was in Nusuka on Sunday and I was teaching. I explained something to them. That listen, it's good to strive for excellence. You hear what I said? I said, it's good to strive for excellence. But even though you were to get a first class, it does not guarantee anything. Do you know why? Because first class is not God. I hope you are getting what I'm saying now when I talk about God. God said, I'm the one that creates good jobs. I'm the one that creates prosperity. Even though you were to get a third class, I was telling them, maybe you're about to graduate. You've not heard this gospel before now, so you can't make up anymore. Don't be discouraged. Because God said, a lot of us Christians don't like this, but God said, I create poverty also. I don't know what I get my point. A poor degree from a university does not create poverty. I do. God said, no, what he was saying in effect from that scripture, Isaiah 45, is that nobody on earth creates prosperity. Nobody creates good jobs. Nobody creates material abundance. I do. And nobody can create the opposite. That if you see a man that is not rich, it's because I didn't make him rich. For whatever reason. Don't think it's because he didn't get a good degree. Now, why am I saying this? What we end up doing a lot of times is that we start giving the title to God to other things. To our connections. Do you understand? When you say, hey, that guy is doing very well. I say, ah, you know his father now. What they are saying is, his father creates prosperity. And God said, no, you are not magnifying me. You are magnifying the things that are not God. Are you getting my point? That's why some people will kill their conscience to please a man who they believe can give them promotion. There was one man I read about talking about the church in the relationship between the church and the king, I think in England then. The man did, he served the king of England. Then one day he did something. The king of England said they should go and hang him. I forgot his name now, true story. And the man said something that, I think it was a bishop or something, or an archbishop. He said, if I had served God the way I served the king, I wouldn't be dying today. He served the king of England so well, he thought all he would ever get is promotion. Then one day, either it was a mistake or somebody framed him wrongly, whatever it is, the king ordered him hung. He's going to hang that guy. And before he entered the gallows, he said, ah, if only I served God the way I served the king, I won't be dying today. That is, I'm God, not the king. I give life and I give death. If there's anything like giving death. Do you understand the concept? So what is the lesson for believers? Our lesson is what? What's our lesson? That's what we're discussing today. To magnify God. Thank you very much. That's what we're discussing. Our lesson is to magnify God. One more scripture before we begin. Before we continue. Jeremiah chapter 10. Yes, very good. He said, hear the word of the Lord, hear the word which the Lord speaks to you, house of Israel. Thus says the Lord, he said, verse 2, do not learn the way of the nations. What is the way of the nations? He said, and do not be terrified by the signs of the heavens, although the nations are terrified by them. What is the way of the nations in this situation? These people are terrified by signs of the heavens. Are you getting what I'm saying? He said, for the customs of the peoples are delusion, because it is wood cut from the forest, the work of the hands of a craftsman with a cutting tool. They decorate it with silver and with gold. They fasten it with nails and hammers so that it will not totter. Like a scarecrow in a cucumber field are they. And they cannot speak. They must be carried. But they cannot, because they cannot walk, do not fear them. He said, for they can do no harm, nor can they do any good. Now listen to verse 6. There is none like thee, O Lord. Thou art great, and great is thy name in might. Who shall not fear thee, O King of the nations? Indeed, it is thy due. For amongst all the wise men of the nations, and in all their kingdoms, there is none like thee. But they are altogether stupid and foolish. In their discipline of delusion, their idol is wood. Now, just you now describe what the other thing. He said, but verse 10, but the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and the everlasting King. At his wrath, the earth quakes. And the nations cannot endure his indignation. Let me just stop there, because we can read further. He said, it is he, verse 12, who made the earth by his power and all of that. But this is the point I'm trying to explain in all of these things. Many things try to play God. Are you getting my point? And part of prayer, in fact, it's an assignment you have, is to magnify God at all times. He said, come, let us magnify the Lord. David said, come, magnify the Lord with me, and let us do what? Praise his name or exalt his name together. Listen, that's the divine assignment. And what it does for you, let me explain, is that, you see, let me tell you something about spiritual things. A lie can become real. You know why? Because material things are not real. Do you understand what I'm saying? So, if you believe a lie in the realm of the spirit, it transmits itself into something material. And you will be deceived into thinking it is real. Let me explain what I'm saying. You are an overcomer. Did I hear an amen? God made you an overcomer. But if you don't magnify God, you will live life like a failure, and you will believe that you're a failure. Not because you're a failure in reality, but because you did not magnify God. So your assignment is to take that which is real, alright, and magnify it on the earth so that it can become real in your experience. Am I talking to myself? If you understand what I'm saying, if you understand what I said, say amen. Listen, as part of prayer, number one assignment for today, and that's what we are doing, is doing what? Magnifying the Lord. I said, God has a word in every situation. The devil tries to make us believe his own idea in every situation, but God has a word in every situation. And what are we doing? We are going to magnify the name of God. I was saying something to you earlier. The name of God is not like we did the Bonham, so and so time. What is the name they gave him that day? You now be fighting everybody. That's God's proper name. You know, God's proper name is Jehovah. No, forget all of that. In each situation, he has a name. Did you hear what I said? In each situation, he does what? He has a name. When God, I first heard this one from Miles Morrow. Let me give honor to whom honor is due. Miles Morrow was the first one to teach this thing I'm saying. He said when God sent a message to Pharaoh, he was going to send Moses. He asked Moses, and Moses said, who should I tell him sent me? Who should I tell them sent me? And he said, I am that I am. And according to Derek Prince, he said, when you get there, what God said to Moses was that I am is sending you. But when you get there, tell them that he is sent me. The literal Hebrew is not that you won't get there and say, I am sent me. No. God is telling Moses, I am. When you get there, you say, he is. I let that one from the reference. The reference, that's the Hebrew. The Hebrew inflection is different. When he was talking to Moses, he said, I am. When you get there, who sent you? You say, he is. Miles Monroe said that. Do you know why he said it like that? Because the name of God is so big, it changes depending on the situation. So if you're in bondage, he says, he is the deliverer has sent me. Are you getting what I'm saying? If you are hungry, the bread of life has sent me. So they will ask Jesus Christ, he will tell them, I am the bread that came down from heaven. When is the time of darkness, he will say, I am the light of the world. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? That is, the name changes depending on the relevance to the situation. What am I saying? God has a name in every situation. And number one job in prayer, before you start worrying about the money, say, what is God's name when I'm broke? Are you getting my point? You read through the Bible, God has a name in every situation. So everybody wants to enter into university, they're writing jam, they say, you need connection. One woman saw me one day. Say your address. They work for me, they repair stuff. Your address. I said, UNTH. She said, You work in UNTH? I said, I do. I didn't know. I said, well, what is my issue with you and my working place? So that the other day they were advertising for, they advertised vacancies and we were applying. And that she looked and she did not know anybody there, so she did not apply. That if only she knew that she knew me there, she would have applied. I said, yeah. Number one, just by the way, she didn't know I was not in a position. You come to a place at UNTH, in your eye, I may be big man. Get this, you go notice people get sizes. there are places I enter. Admin section. Hello, I'm Dr. Lucina. Susan Supress. I'm seeing you for the first time. I said, are you new here? The person said, no, I've been here for 15 years. I said, I've been here for 10 years. And we don't know each other. Said, so, but this is for you. That's why you go and put your hope in man who is ordinary, like, who doesn't even know anybody. This is what I'm making. She didn't understand that God has a name in every situation. Do you understand my point? If it is you, don't ever. You know, there are things that you do, God will slap you. And you will feel his fingerprint on your face. Don't think I'm joking. If you talk like that, bulala, God will flog you. You won't know why you couldn't sleep the whole night. It's the flogging of the Lord. The one you had before, he will take it away from you so that you will learn a lesson. Are you getting what I'm saying? What should you have done if he is you, alright? You will look and say, after all, he is the God of the heavens and the God of the earth. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. That's God's name when you don't know people. When you are broke, his name becomes, I am Jehovah Jireh, El Shaddai, the God who supplies all your needs. I think God doesn't have a proper name. Say you knock, say okay. His name depends on the time of the day. It depends on the time of the day in your life. Are you getting what I'm saying? So how do you magnify God? You identify his name in each situation and you start calling that name. Oh God, I wish you would get the point. Stop looking at, you know, most of us will pray looking at our situations instead of looking at God. You know what you do with situations? You carry them and go and measure them. You understand what I mean? Measure them before God. Say, all right, see, what's your height, Mr. Poverty? Say, I'm 75 feet tall. I'm taller than you. No problem. Come. Now go and stand him beside God. Say, what's your height? You know, they can't even, he has not even reached the level of God's ankle. Do you understand what I'm saying? And when you focus like that, do you get, poverty suddenly loses power in your eyes, and that becomes real on the earth. Suddenly, opportunities start opening. Things you did not know were possible will start coming your direction. That is the meaning of the word magnifying the Lord. Do you understand what I'm saying? So let's do something. Let's magnify the Lord today. David said, come magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. Let's rise to our feet and begin to magnify the Lord. You have your Bibles? Let's start from this Jeremiah chapter 10. It will be very, very beautiful. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Now, let's read verse 6. Okay? No, we'll read it. Before we read it, let's start. Let's individually give the Lord thanks. Say, Father, I thank you for the privilege of approaching unto thy throne. Say, Lord, I thank you because I have come to your presence. Thank you because I have understanding to understand your word. Thank you because I have life. Thank you because I have life in Christ Jesus. Let's just give him thanks. Say, thank you, Father, because in Christ Jesus, you have made me worthy of approaching to your presence. Thank you because your name I can call. Thank you because I have boldness because of righteousness. Righteousness by the faith of Jesus Christ. Thank you because I have boldness to draw near to the throne of grace, that I can obtain favor. I will find grace to help in the time of need, that I obtain mercy. Say, Lord, I thank you because you know me. When I call you, Lord, you answer. Because you are the great God and I am your child. Now let's read from verse 6 of Jeremiah chapter 10. He said, now we are still praying. He said, there is none like thee, O Lord. You know the way we do it. This time we are not just reading, please. So, you know, we have understanding now, don't we? Yeah, because you see, you know, like today, yesterday I was driving. I saw a newspaper article. It said, Nigeria is broke. I said, so what? As I was driving by, I looked. He said, okay, by what? Nigeria is broke. So what? What do you want me to do? Nigeria is broke. You want to scare me on a Monday morning because Nigeria is broke? Ah. When the Bible said, there is none like thee, O Lord. Are you getting my point? IMF is not like thee. What do you mean Nigeria is broke? One day I told my wife, I said, listen, they said that there's no food in which country is that one? Zimbabwe. I said, don't believe them, it's a lie. She said, what do I mean? They've shown all the shops. I said, listen, when last do you go to Ruban to go and buy yam? When you want to buy yam, where do you go to? Oh, wait a market, God bless you. I said, I told my wife, don't let these people deceive you. They've gone to the Ruban of Zimbabwe and there was nothing inside. Let them go to the Ogwete of Zimbabwe. You will see yam. You will see vegetables. You will see everything. You think people are fools? They come and scare me. I rant nonsense. People like to scare people. Say Zimbabwe is upside down. They lie. People are still farming. You think they stop farming because when they say Zimbabwe is broke, it's dollar they don't have. That's what I'm coming to. When they say Nigeria is broke, it's because maybe somebody doesn't have dollar. Dollar that Barack Obama ordered them to print like 1 trillion the other day. Because, say, listen. Say Nigeria is broke. I rant rubbish. Dollar is not God. IMF is not God. External reserve is not God. Are you getting what I'm saying? Therefore, we shout, there is none like thee, O Lord. Everybody shout that.
There is none like thee, O Lord.
Let's say it. IMF is not like thee, O Lord.
IMF is not like thee, O Lord.
Dollar is not like thee, O Lord.
Dollar is not like thee, O Lord.
He says, thou art great, and great is thy name in might.
Thou art great, and great is thy name in might.
Who will not fear thee, O King of the nations? Indeed, it is thy due. For among all the wise men of the nations,
in all their kingdoms,
there is none like thee.
He
said, but they are all together stupid and foolish. Quickly, please, jump down to verse 10. He said, but the Lord is the true God. Say, the God that I serve is the true God. He does not need external reserve. He does not need plenty of dollar to prosper me. Listen, whether there's ash or not, God is bigger than the Icelandic volcanic ash. Shout it.
God is bigger than the
For those who understand, I said there was an earthquake in volcanic eruption in Iceland. And it's covered a large portion of Europe. They cancel flights here and there. And the airlines are losing $200 million a day. Kenya is bleeding $1 million a day. I look at it, I said, that's just one small... what happened? God walk past. And I told you, he stepped on one volcano. It didn't erupt. But the volcano is inferior to my God. Are you getting my point? That God knows I must be blessed. I hope you're getting what I'm saying. Yes, he knows. And therefore, The volcano cannot stop my blessing. Listen, I'm emphasizing this. Don't let people scare you. Oh my God. That's what Satan is trying to do. Make us afraid. So anytime there's a problem in life, you know, I say something all the time. Those days in Enugu, there were plenty of armed robbers in Enugu. They say, don't drive e-boot in this town. Armed robbers drive e-boot. I said, me too, I like it. I bought one. I said, they won't drive me out of this town. They will run away from this town. And many of them have run into the grave through police bullets. Yes, if you will give me trouble, you say you'll be rogue in this town, you will just die early. Because there is none as great as my God. Are you getting my point? You are getting what I'm saying. So let's magnify that. That's what I want to do today. Everybody shout it. They say, there is none like thee, O Lord.
There is none like thee, O Lord.
Thou art great, and great is thy name in might.
Thou art great, and great is thy name in might.
He said, my God is the true God.
My God is the true God.
He is the living God and the everlasting King.
He is the living God and the everlasting King.
At his wrath, the earth quakes.
At his wrath, the earth quakes.
And the nations cannot endure his indignation.
Say,
my God is the true God.
And
he's
on my side.
And he's wrought the earth quakes. If you're on the same side as God, if you rejected it somewhere, don't be angry. Oh God, I wish you would get what I'm saying. You know, I said it before. Don't be angry. Because of the glory of God, do you get my point? Nobody can keep you down. That one is not possible. The problem we have is that we focus on the things that are not God. That's why I read this scripture and talked at length before I started reading this thing. The problem is that we focus on the things that are not God. You've been playing American Visa Lottery for how many years? And that's why you have not done anything. Because you think America is God. God said, I am God and there is none else. Everybody say, America is not God.
America is not God.
One day a young man said that he has a trick. I heard it from somebody else's mouth. He said that he'll go and work in the house as a servant of a man that's a director in an oil company. Then one day, he said, this boy, you're such a good boy. Why are you working as a servant here? He said, I have a certificate in engineering. Just that there's no job. That the man will just give him a job in an oil company. And then he will be made. The guy thinks a job in an oil company is God. Declare again. Say, Lord, you are God and not a job.
Lord, you are God and not a job.
Whether I get that job or not, I will yet prosper. Say, I magnify you, O God, as the God of my prosperity.
I magnify you, O Lord, as the God of my prosperity.
You are the God of all the earth and not any company on this earth.
You are the God of all the earth and not any company.
He said, the gods did not make heavens and earth.
God.
That is the normal gods. That is the small gods. All those things that we are running after. The Bible said that they did not make the heavens and the earth. Okay. I'm reading verse 11. Okay, let me say like this. God said to Jeremiah, he said, thus shall say to them, the God that did not make the heavens and the earth shall perish from the earth and from under the heaven. He said, it is he, that is God, who made the earth by his power. So that's what we are reading. Now say, all the small gods did not make the heavens or the earth.
All the small gods did not make the
earth. The oil companies did not create prosperity.
The oil companies did not create prosperity.
Telecom companies did not create prosperity. International jobs did not create prosperity. As a matter of fact, you know what the Bible says? One day they will all perish from the earth. It's only the people that dwell in God that will be established forever. Listen, we need to understand this thing, because God will take you to places. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
Some of you will work in oil companies. Some will create oil companies. I didn't hear the amen.
Amen.
A friend of mine works in a gas company. You know? That's also oil and gas. He said his colleagues, if you see them trembling and they are afraid. Meanwhile, he has given himself dates that he's going to resign. I don't know what I can say. He has given himself dates that by this date, I must be out of here. He said, yes, his colleagues are afraid that one day we may get sacked. What are we going to do? Because actually, naturally speaking, those guys take good care of them. Don't pay for house, don't pay for light, don't pay for school for your children, don't pay for medicine, don't pay anything, and they still pay you well. So men are afraid. When we are juicing, he will just laugh that, these people don't understand anything. But there are bigger things beyond this level. So he gave himself a date that one, by this date, I must be out of here. You can't cap my destiny forever because you are paying me good money. Why? That's why we need to understand, because you will get to that situation one day. Listen to me. You will have worked in another country for 15 years. One day, if you don't walk away, God will kick you away. And if you thought the company was God, are you getting what I'm saying? You would think you are going to die. That's why we are declaring. Some people, you know, there are people who are declaring because they are angry. We are not angry. Are you getting my point? I'm not saying Mobile is a bad place. I'm saying they are not God. I said to you before, you can walk in and walk out. Why? Because you live in God. God is in you. Paul said, I have learned to abound, I have learned to abase. I can walk in a place today. After a while, I say, I'm not going to walk there again. I remember once I made a decision those days in Lagos, and my income dropped by 65%, two-thirds. Is this guy normal? And what I was thinking was that, man, continue walking like this, you will die early. That I have a great future ahead. I mustn't die before that time. That was all I was thinking about. Because there's no company that's God. Are you getting my point? You know what we are doing? We are magnifying our God. Look into your Bibles again. So we say, the God that did not make the heavens and the earth, say it, shall perish from the earth and from under the heavens. It is God, my God, who made the earth by his power. He established the world by his wisdom. He established the world by his wisdom. And by his understanding, he has stretched out the heavens. Listen to what we're saying in verse 13. When he utters his voice, say it, there is a tumult of waters in the heavens. And he causes the clouds to ascend from the end of the earth. He makes lightning for the rain and brings out the wind from his storehouses. Listen, if you read from verse 14, it says, every man is stupid, devoid of knowledge. Every goldsmith is put to shame by his idols, and his molten images are deceitful, and there is no breath in them. They are worthless, a work of mockery. In the time of punishment, they will perish. The portion of Jacob is not like this. Let me explain this. This is so interesting. You know what he's saying here? When he says every man is stupid, that those who depend on the things that they can see, they are stupid. No, my wife and I were talking, we talked a few days ago. I was not listening to my wife today about life. I said, I've observed life when this Iceland volcano erupted. You understand? I said, listen, you know, this is proof that there's nothing permanent on this earth. Listen, there's nothing you put your hope in that will not... God, in fact, once you put your hope in something material, God, you have passed judgment. By that, your hope, you have passed judgment on that, and it must fail that Christ might come out inside you. You can't save enough money to be secure. Listen, I know, in fact, the way I'm going to live life from now on, people will think I'm mad. I have only two assignments. Apart from this preaching I'm doing, when it comes to money matters, enjoy yourself and do good. Don't worry about tomorrow. I've made up my mind. Because I have discovered that there is nothing that you place your hope in on this earth that's reliable. I said, you know, there are those who started shops around Tollgate. And they are making money and children are going to school. Then Baba Abbas woke up one day and demolished all of them. One business ended. There are roads that are built and towns disappear. And you build a new road, all the establishments on the other road vanishes. Anybody who doesn't put his hope in God, are you getting my point? There's what the Bible calls the day of judgment. As those material things are passing away, that's what the Bible said in verse 15, in the time of punishment, they will perish. That the time will come that God will judge the establishments of men. Anyone who puts his hope in the establishments of men, that person will perish with those establishments. Are you getting what my point? I mean, there was a time, I remember when I first became a medical doctor, working for government was the craziest thing on this earth. They paid stupid money. The money was so stupid that people couldn't understand why you should do it. Some of us finished school, finished NYSC, and went for residency. And one of my friends said he couldn't understand what's wrong with some of us. Private practice was the meat. That was the way to go. Do you know, just 6 years down the line, it turned around. All the private clinics were sacking people. There was no money anymore. Government had reduced salaries. One of my friends, when we finished training, went to the UK. He called me, we were talking. I said, do you know how much I earn a month now? I told him, he shouted, Jesus, because in less than a year, salaries had gone up by like fivefold. Then everybody started queuing up at government jobs as doctors, and there was not enough to go around. I know one thing I know for sure, it will not continue like that forever. It will turn again. Do you understand my point? I like the way Zeke said it. There is no condition that is what? Permanent. That's just the way it is. Whatever material thing you are hoping in today, alright? Let me guarantee you of something, it will fail tomorrow. Your father can have 25 houses and you're just waiting for the man to die and hand you the keys. May earthquake not pass through where your father's houses are. There were people who were landlords in Haiti. Right now they only have a tent to live in. Because we invited the wrath of God by putting our hope in material things. Let's read that scripture again. This is what it was. It says, every man is stupid and divided of knowledge. Every goldsmith is put to shame by his idols. He said, they are worthless, a work of mockery. In the time of their punishment, they will perish. Now, verse 16 says, the portion of Jacob is not like this. For the maker of all is he. And Israel is the tribe of his inheritance. And the Lord of hosts is his name. That is the Lord of the army. That's the meaning of host. I want to read it loud. It said, the portion of my life is not like this. That is, the person I have trusted in does not pass away. Say, my God does not change. He said, in him there is no variableness. Neither is there any shadow of turning. He said, in him there is no variableness. Neither is there any shadow of turning. He said, now the song he said, Israel is the tribe of his inheritance. Look, that stands for the church of God. I want you to understand that. I don't have time to go into that. We'll discuss it in the details. I don't think not one small nation fighting the Palestinian for one something. No. It is, Bible says that in Christ Jesus, all the promises of God are what? They are yes and amen. This is a promise of God. So if you have believed in Christ Jesus, say amen.
Amen.
Therefore say, I am the portion of his inheritance.
I am the portion of his inheritance.
God delights in me.
He delights in me.
His eyes go to and fro the whole earth. Looking for how to show himself strong on my behalf. Say, my portion is not like this. It's not like these that pass away. He's the God that is established from eternity to eternity. He said, I am the tribe of his inheritance. I am the tribe of his inheritance. He knows me by name. The very hair on my head, they are numbered. I said to you before, blessings are commanded. That's why, you know, I said last night, it was on Saturday, that's why Christians don't need to be jealous. You don't need to be jealous of anybody. If you have 25 cars and I don't have one, you know what it means? I don't have one, you have 25. 25 that you are driving, they are not my own. You can't drive the one that's my own. I don't know what I'm going to say. No, you can't. So I can't be jealous that you are driving your own car. What's my problem? My blessing has my name on it. God knows me by name. And he has placed my name on my blessing. And my God does not change. Let me say something to you. When he says in him there's no variableness, neither is there shadow of turning. There are two things there. Alright? Variableness means somebody who doesn't know what he's doing. Today he says this, tomorrow he says that. So that God is not like that. Shadow of turning means that he wants to do something new. He planned to give you money. But the day you needed it, he was broke. That's what Greek means. That is, he doesn't change. That's variableness. Shadow of turning means that nothing changes him. I don't know what I heard I said. So if they said that they are devaluing Naira, one thing you must not do is lose sleep. Because your blessings are not denominated in Naira or in dollars. They are denominated in heavenly currency. And they don't have 1, 2, 3, 4 value to it. No. What they have is a blessing. That is, if God says it's a house, if the day you wanted this house was 25 naira, he will give it to you. If the day you wanted is 25 billion, house is house as far as God understands. That's what he means when he says in him there is no variableness and there is no shadow of turning. Do you get the point I'm making? Let me give that testimony again. The other brother who told me that he wanted to go to Luz to go and apply for residency position as a doctor, young doctor. And they told him, no, don't bother. They don't give people. They don't give people. They know you have to know somebody. Then he listened to one message I preached, and he remember in that message he heard that, no, what's the big deal? My God is the God of everybody. You know my boy? If you know God, you know everybody. He went and applied to his friend's amazement. Not only was he admitted, he was number one on the admission list. On the appointment list, he was number one. Because there's a rule they operate in that place, which God used in his favor. No matter who are the other people that are contesting against you, once you can be number one in the test, because they do a written test, you are normally the first they appoint. Then they look at the other people. that the president's candidate will be next. The man who does the best. So he, when he went there, God gave him wisdom. They gave them tests. He got the highest. So when his friends heard, they said, we should also have tried. I told you if they tried, they would have drowned. Yes, Egyptians attempting what the Israelites attempted, what happened? They drowned. If you are walking with God, that's what we're making. Let's magnify God. In every situation in life, there is a name that he bears. Come on, bow your head. Just think of one situation that's in your life. You need money, you need this, you need that. There is a name he bears. There's a name he bears. You just say, the Lord is thy husband. That name, man, it will jump from you, from the page of the book into your face. He said, I'm the Lord that makes joyful mothers barren women dwell in the house as joyful mothers of children. He has a name he bears in the midst of barrenness. He said, when I open the door, no man can close it. He said, I asked, who can hinder it? And as for my outstretched arm, who can turn it back? There is a name that God is bearing in that situation. What we need to do is magnify him and call him by his proper name. Miles Monroe said, that was why God said to Moses, what is your name? He said, I am. That is fill in the blank. You are thirsty? I am the water of life. You are hungry? I am the bread that came down from heaven. Call God by that name in that situation. In the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we give you thanks. Let's open our Bibles now to Psalm 118. This thing we are saying is very important. In fact, you know, I thank God for the job he has given me to teach his word and then ability to observe life. This is when I read the Bible, he has meaning. Now you understand when he says that I am God and there is none else. It's not ordinary words. Not somebody who's confused just to be sure by his personality. Do you know what I'm saying? He's reminding you of something. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's so important. When you hear the word in the Bible, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord is like, is reminding you to remove your eyes from other things and focus them on God. People say that praise is the food that God eats. Please, it may be true, but do you know the verse of scripture where the Bible says that? I'm not saying it's not true. Have you seen it before? I've never, you know, I don't believe it. Because if I were hungry, I wouldn't tell you. So if he said, praise the Lord, that's not the food he wants to eat. It is you. Praise is your own food. I don't know what that you get what I'm saying. God knows the hungry. You know whose food praises? Yours. Because when you praise God, what's happening is that you are taking your eyes away from the things around you and you are focusing them on God. That's what praise means. Are you getting my point? So we say that it's the food that God eats. I understand what we're trying to say. It's not a bad thing. Do you understand? But actually what I know is that the person that gets fat when the praise is on him, all right, is you that's praising God. That's why they say praise looks good on you. It looks good on who? It's on you. Do you understand my point? He said they looked to him and they were radiant. Or my Bible said they looked to him and they were lightened. And their faces were no longer ashamed. That is when they looked at the situations of their life, they were depressed. You know, I said when a man is depressed, he starts getting skin rash, ulcers, I'm telling you, starts losing weight for nothing. Sometimes even grows shorter. But when he looks to God, you know, I was talking to somebody not too long ago, and he said something to me that after I finished listening to those messages, he said, I began to live. What did I say? She said, I began to live. He said, when the situation came again, he said, before I cried and cried, he said, this time around it came. He said, do you know I didn't shed a tear? Are you getting what I'm saying? That's what it means to magnify God. When you call God by his proper name, you know, you will realize that there is no problem. Oh, God, you know. See, life is so, you know, Solomon, look. You can imagine that Bill Gates looks at money and say, this is emptiness. You'll be waking up every day looking for money. Solomon said, you are pursuing after the wind. The day you find it, you discover you found nothing. A lot of things that worry us in life, as a matter of fact, they are empty. It's just because we are focused on them, so they have become magnified. And the Bible says, praise ye the Lord. That is, don't focus on that thing. What do? you focus on God, take your eyes off, focus on God, you will discover that those problems actually do not exist, and then they begin to disappear, naturally speaking. And now, frankly speaking, I told the person, I said, listen, I don't know how God is going to do this thing for you, but when you will have finished, you will look back at those years and you will laugh. And you will wonder, so what was even the problem? Are you getting what I'm saying? That's what praise is. Psalm 118. He said, give thanks to the Lord for his good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Everybody read that. Now, you read verse 2. He said, oh, let Israel say. Now, let's read it together. His loving kindness is everlasting. He said, let the house of Israel, that is the priest, let them say. No, I want to just say what he said they should say. Let the house of Aaron, that is the priest, let them say, his loving kindness is everlasting. Let those who fear the Lord say, his loving kindness is everlasting. Now, listen to what David says. He said, from my distress I call upon upon the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. Now, listen to this. The Lord is for me, I will not fear. Everybody read that loud.
The Lord is for me, I will not fear.
Let's read it again. It says, the Lord is for me, I will not fear.
The Lord is for me, I will not fear.
Let's read it one more time. The Lord is for me, I will not fear.
The Lord is for me, I will not fear.
He said, what can man do to me? Look, that thing is very important. A lot of people in life, we think that if somebody doesn't do you a favor, do you a favor, you can't get anything in life. A friend of mine once, he was trying to get a visa. He tried first and second time, it failed. Then one day, man said, no problem. The day you're going for the interview, call me. I'm going to do something. I will do this and do this. The day after he applied for, he was going for the interview, he called the man's office. They regretted to announce to him that the man was dead. He died the day before. He rushed to come and see me. He said, Pastor Banky, what do I do? I said, God has manifested himself to you. Just relax. You are too tense. If as I go there, if they deny you the visa, forget it. Look, God has a will for your life. There are journeys he does not want you to take. They say, collect visa, they not give you. You go back home. I went to the U.S. about 2 years ago for a course. When the lady, she was the chief of the visa section in American Embassy in Abuja. When she looked at my account balance, she looked at me, looked at the account balance. And I remember, I said, what's the problem? I asked her. Because she folded her hand and said, your account balance is too low. I said, yes. You asked me whether it was a salary account, and I said, yes, it's a salary account. I earn the money through there, and I spend it. I don't keep it there. The woman looks at, this is one Nigerian. This is a particular Nigerian. And let me tell you the truth. That morning when I was going there, I just remembered I had never asked God for the visa. I had this attitude that if you won't give me, that's your problem. I'm going back home. Just before I left my hotel room, I said, God, for the record, I actually want to go for this course. I really want to go. So please, give it to me. But I just realized that I had never, all this while, no gathering papers together, I had never, God is my witness, I had never prayed about it. That morning as I got up to go, I said, Frankie, wait, you didn't even ask God for this thing. Because my attitude was that, I'm not begging anybody. When I got a true, where I stand like this, people say, I said, what's the problem? At the end of the day, I said, okay, can you come back on Tuesday? I said, I came from Enugu Tuesday. I can't come back. It's too much money. Can I give somebody to come and collect for me? Cut the long story short. When we finished, I told the lady, she was the hardest visa officer there. There were three. The two were white young women. She was a black, a mama, American woman. Tough. When it was my turn, the guy sitting beside me, one guy is a lawyer, young guy. So, I was supposed to see one of the right ladies, but at that time she went for her tea break. So, and this other woman was so fast. You know, they say fast, denying, bam, denying, bam, denying. Get away. Go away, go to America. You, come, we don't want you. Hey, bam, get away. That was her attitude. Very fast. So, then her position was open. That was my turn. And the guy beside me said, yee. What are you going to do? I look at him like, this guy doesn't know who. Like, in my mind, do you know who you are talking? Behave yourself. I look at him and say, what? She? What's the problem with that? Huh? I just got to walk up to her. Hello. Yeah, what's your name? I told her. Can I have your this thing I gave to her? She looked at me. I said, what's the problem? No, God is my witness. The way she looked at me, I said, is there a problem? She said, your account balance is very low. I said, it's a salary account now. Why money good this salary account? First, no go spend. matter of fact. At the end of the day, one of them, that's what I said. I said I was actually, because I was told that part of the story. I said I wanted to come and meet you actually, because everybody was terrified of you. He said, what? I said, yes, we've been talking. He said, you were talking about me. I said, yeah, we're talking about you. You've been denying everybody visa. Why won't we talk about you? So now it's not fun to play. When in fact, I left her presence because there were other people. So because I was wasting their time. He was there chatting. He said, you know, the problem is that people are not sincere. People are genuine. You're explaining the problem. I said, I came with a triumphant spirit. And my issue was, like my wife would say that, why won't other people be like that? I said, because it matters to them whether they go or they don't go. For me, it didn't matter. Are you getting my point? That's why the Bible talks about who, those who love their life, they will lose it. It's the one who doesn't love his life that will find it. If it's like, like one guy, one bubble like this. Once I saw him, me, fellow Nigerian, I said, Bobo is not coming back. Once I saw him, I said, Bobo ain't coming back. And the lady looked at him, he said, you say you're a civil servant? How come you have 4 million in your account? I said, he's going for one conference on botanical or agricultural. I said, you must have to go home. 4 million bucks in the account. This bros went there with 30,000 in an account. No, I'm serious. There was one account, one brother sent Kingdom Word money. He mistakenly paid into my account. It was after that I saw he paid 70K. That's the total. The woman put everything to get that. He not reached $1,000 and he won't go to America. I said, eh? If you don't give me the visa, give me my passport, they go out. Now, are you getting my point? I'm talking about having a triumphant spirit. That's why I brought up that issue. And you go around growing life begging. Life will treat you like a beggar. You can't go around and your head and not the tail and you are begging everywhere. You are getting my point? Look, God is God, though. Are you getting my point? God is who? He is God. The God that you are serving controls everything. That's what I'm saying. Listen, there are journeys he doesn't want you to take, so don't worry your head about it. They're not giving you visa, eh? Job, don't finish right here. Create jobs. Nobody got that you won't go see from America before. Enugu got an upland. What's your problem? If you create a gutter cleaning company in Nigeria, you'll be surprised how much money you make. After all, shit business. Remember? It's serious business. Otumba Gaddafi. You don't know about Otumba Gaddafi? The guy, his job is to be pumping shit from toilet. And he shouted it loud. Shit business is serious business. And now he goes around teaching everybody in Nigeria how to make money. Are you getting my point? Psalm 118. I wanted to shout this one loud. The Lord is for me, I will not fear.
The Lord is for me, I will not fear.
Verse 7 says, the Lord is for me among those who help me. Therefore, I shall look with satisfaction on those who hate me. See, verse 8 says, it's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. All right, let's read verse 10 together. He said, all nations surround me. All troubles surround me. All enemies, they surround me. Poverty surrounds me. Sickness surrounds me. He said, in the name of the Lord, I will surely cut them off.
In the name of the Lord, I will surely cut them off.
Please, I want to shout that again. Say, in the name of the Lord,
in the name of the Lord,
I will surely cut them off.
I will surely cut them off.
He said, they surrounded me. Yes, they surrounded me.
They surrounded me. Yes, they surrounded me.
In the name of the Lord, I will surely cut them off.
In the name of the Lord, I will surely cut them off.
He said, they surrounded me like bees. See, in the name of the Lord, they were extinguished as a fire of thorns.
In the name of the Lord, they were extinguished as a fire of thorns.
In the name of the Lord, I will surely cut them off.
In the name of the Lord, I will surely cut them
he
off.
He said, you pushed me violently so that I was falling.
You pushed me violently so that I was falling.
But the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my song.
The Lord is my strength and my song.
He has become my salvation. The Lord is my strength and my song.
The Lord is my
He has become my salvation.
He has become my salvation.
Let me say something to you. I always say, David wouldn't write this kind of thing if he didn't experience it. Are you getting what I'm saying? So if you think that being a man of faith, there will not be times you will think that everything has, you know what I mean, collude. That's not true. It will happen that you will wonder, what is happening? Don't ever forget. I said God has a name in every situation. That is the name in that situation. He said, this is the Lord in whose name they are cut off. Are you getting my point? Yeah, that's how you magnify God. You look at all the troubles. Listen, people say that, people make it like if Christians like to deny reality, we don't deny reality. We just know what is more real than other things. Are you following my point? Yes, if you have troubles, you will know you have troubles. But you just know that in the name of the Lord, I will surely cut them off. I say something to you all the time that David said that, my enemy don't rejoice over me. Even though I fall, I shall rise again. Only a man who has fallen says such things. Did you hear what I said? If a man has not been sacked from his job, he can't say, don't rejoice over me. It's only when he has sacked you. And the people don't like you, see who retain the job. That's when they'll be saying, that's when you say, don't rejoice over me. Because if you were still there, why should you be saying, yeah, don't rejoice over me? Why should they rejoice over you? Do you get my point? So when joblessness and poverty and hopelessness surround me, what I do is that in the midst of them, I lift up my hand and say, in the name of the Lord, I will surely cut them off. What we do as believers is to maintain the same confession. We like to confess good when good is happening. It's a stupid time to confess good. Because you call those things that be not as though they were. So the best time to confess good is when you can't see it. And listen to me, hear ye the word of the Lord. Anybody who maintains the confession of the word of God in the midst of his troubles and in the midst of his adversities will surely cut them off.
Amen.
Listen, if you will not change your mind, let's assume you are a farmer in Kenya. In your own little place, you are losing a few thousands every day. And there's volcanic ash, up there. Once you open your mouth, what are we going to do? We're in trouble. You start sinking. You will sink. That's what happened. When Peter was walking in water, he became afraid. What happened? He began to sink. But when you look and say, the volcanic ash surrounds me. And canceled flights are assailing me. Yet, in the name of the Lord, I will surely cut them off. Listen, lose $5,000 a day for 2 weeks. When God will turn around, you will gain $20,000 a day for 1 year in recovery. One of the things that God does is to make it look... No, my wife was saying that. Somebody said that you can't change yesterday, the past. So even God can't change the past. I said, she looked at me and said, is that true? I said, baby, I don't think it's true. God can change the past. He can change the past. You know why? Because the only effect the past has, the only importance of the past is the effect it has on today. So if I lose $5,000 a day for 2 weeks, and I gain $20,000 a day for 1 year, he has changed the past. After all, the devil wanted the bank to close me up. Now I'm buying the bank. He has changed the past. Are you getting my point? Let's read that thing again. Our time is going, John. Let's read it again. He said, all troubles surround me. In the name of the Lord, I will surely cut them off. Let me give you time. Just begin to name the thing that's surrounding you. And I want you to declare loud, in the name of the Lord, I have cut you off. In the name of the Lord, I have cut you off. Whatever be the troubles, he said, in the name of the Lord, I will surely cut them off. He said, they surround me like bees. He said, yes, they were extinguished like a fire of thorns. It doesn't burn for long. They burn for a while. Don't forget. Troubles may burn for a while. But in the name of the Lord, I will surely cut them off. You pushed me violently so that I was falling. But the Lord helped me. He said, the Lord is my strength and my song. In the name of the Lord, I will surely cut them off. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. Whatever be the troubles, declare to it. Speak to it. In the name of the Lord, I will surely cut you off. In the name of the Lord, I have cut you off. I come against you in the name of Jesus Christ. They say I don't know anybody. I didn't go to a university. Therefore, I can't go far in life. Tell him, you bleak destiny, in the name of the Lord, I have cut you off. Hear ye the word of the Lord. Though I do not have that certificate, I will employ 100 people with such certificate. Because of the glory of God that will be seen upon me, I want you to magnify the Lord. Say, in the name of the Lord, I will surely, surely, surely cut them off. Now let's read verse 13. He said, you pushed me violently so that I was falling. Say that. Say, the troubles of life pushed me violently so that I was falling. But the Lord helped me. Say, the Lord is my strength and my song. Shout it loud. The Lord is my strength and my song. Shout it loud. The Lord is my strength and my song. And he has become my salvation. Let me declare to you what verse 16 says. He said, the sound of joyful shouting and salvation is in the tent of the righteous. Listen, it will come to pass that God will so bring forth his glory upon you that you will have no choice but to shout for joy. He said, the sound of joyful shouting and salvation, that was salvation talks about deliverance. That is, people who have believed and have prophesied, like verses 10, 11, 12, 13, and 14 have indicated here, when they maintain their confession, what happens is that the sound of joyful shouting and salvation is found in their tent. Therefore, I declare to you, you righteous one in Christ Jesus, the sound of joyful shouting and salvation will come out of your tent in the name of Jesus Christ. He said, the right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. Therefore, the righteous will say, I shall not die, but live, and tell of the works of the Lord. Now, begin to declare that. Just say, I shall not die, but live. 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 I will tell of the works of the Lord. Say, I will tell of the works of the Lord. He said, the Lord has disciplined me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Hey, he said, I will not die, but I will live. I will not die, I will live. I will not die, I will live. I will tell of the works of the Lord. I will not die, I will live. I will not die, I will live. I will tell of the works of the Lord. I will not die, I will live. I will not die, I will live. Because the right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I shall not die, I will live. The sound of joyful shouting will be heard in my house. The shout of joyful shouting. The sound of salvation. Salvation will be heard in my house. Oh, I will not die, I will live. I will not fail, I will succeed. I will not be sick, but I will be healed. In the name of Jesus Christ. I will not be a failure, but I shall succeed. I will not fail, but I shall succeed. In the name of Jesus Christ, because the hand of the Lord does valiantly, and the hand of the Lord is exalted. He said, open to me the gates of righteousness. I shall enter through them. I shall give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous will enter through it. I will give thanks to thee. For thou hast answered me, and thou hast become my salvation. Now, I can't teach on that now. We've discussed that one in previous times, some of our Saturday teaching. God has a method he wants you to walk by. Are you getting my point? One of the things you have to be careful about in life, you know, actually the sign of your faith as a believer is the kind of choice you make when you are trying to, you know, do things in life. Do you understand my point? For example, if you make a choice to please somebody and displease God, when I say displease God, now there are many ways, all right? If you have to backstab your friend who trusted in you, so as to get a job, you have displeased God. That's what we're talking about. If three of you went somewhere to go and apply for something, and as you are going, somebody calls you and says, no, only you I want, not tell your friends, tell them you don't want. If you can't tell them like that, don't worry. Just go out and tell your friends, see what they told me just now. I'm telling you, that's what I mean. I'm bringing out something. When you break rules, break proper order in life, all right? So as to get something, you have missed the gate of God. If you're a man walking by faith, you're a woman walking by faith, you do things openly, in clarity, in righteousness. Look, when a man wants to deceive you, he says, it's only you, don't tell your friends. Once they tell you like that, they won't job you be that. You know, they call it the job person. They won't tell you to mugun for 419. Don't hide, no? Do you get my point? Be open. There's no... The reason people think that if I tell people now, they will take what is mine. What is mine, I told you before, is my own. If you can take it, it was not mine. If you can take it, it was not mine. If you can take it, it was not mine. What I'm saying is, when we do what is right, all right, it's a sign of our faith. Do you get my point? If we do that which is right, it's just a simple sign of faith. Not again, like, it's because we don't believe in God. Are you getting what I'm saying? Uh-huh. So when we have done that which is right, that's what is called walking through the gates of God. God has gates. Jesus said that there are different. You want to enter one thing? Yeah, there's narrow gate. That's the gate of God. There's a broad way. It's how you enter that decides what you get from that thing. Are you getting what I'm saying? If you follow the order of God, having maintained this confession, because all this thing we are saying is the sign of your faith, then as you go about in life, life begins to test. You really believe this or you don't believe it? And the way it tests is that make the right choice. If you make the, you know, Magomago choice, you are saying, I really don't believe that one at church. You know, say Pastor Frankie was looking. If you don't talk now, you say you are not talking, he will send you behind the door. Do you follow what I'm saying? But when you do that which is right, you have chosen the path of God as a reflection of the fact that you truly believe in Him. Are you getting what I'm saying? This is what will not happen to you. Verse 22. He said, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. Let me stop there. I think you can decode it yourself. Do you follow what I'm saying? That is, the stones that the builders rejected, where people say you were not good enough, you'll be the foundation for the place. Listen, this only happens when you maintain this confession, follow the path of righteousness, walk through the gates of God. This is the declaration of what you experience to be. Therefore, listen to this. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, not by struggles, not by striving, but because it is the doing of the Lord. Therefore, it is marvelous in our eyes. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, the Bible says it was as if they were dreaming. You know one thing I know for sure? There's nobody that walks with God, including me. Eh? Now one day in his life, he won't wake up. You know, I like that Zane advert. You know that Zane advert? Wake up a millionaire. somebody will wake up a millionaire. It's interesting. One day in your life, it may not be physical cash, it may not be Zane, but you will wake up and look and say, my God, this is marvelous in my eyes. One day you wake up and say, it is not me that did this. Definitely, this has been the doing of the Lord. What have I said today? Brethren, God has a name in every situation. And this is how we magnify Him. It's not because praise improves God or God the hungry will go praise until in belly full. No. Praise looks good on who? On us. It's me that's praising. I am the one that, as I'm praising God, I'm taking my eyes away from natural things and placing them on God, which is the person who is the person who does not change. You can get, you know, there are people who they are broke now. There are those who almost committed suicide because Yaradua fell sick and Jonathan took over. Because their uncle is no longer a minister. You don't know that? When Supreme Court wants to sit on some gubernatorial election matters, there are those who can't sleep. They are in church praying, in the name of Jesus. They are giving offering by force. God says, what thing I go do now? As they pray, give offering. The other guy on the other side, they pray, give offering. Okay, where I balance it off now? Who give more offering? Around the rubbish. Why are they praying? Because, they are not the governor. They are not even the commissioner. They are just the nephew of a commissioner. They don't say, once they commode that organ, all the contracts. That's the end of it. Thank you. All the masks don't fall. Network don't go off. Nothing again. But listen, those that trust in the Lord, they are like Mount Zion. It cannot be shaken. If you like me, you commode one governor, turn her upside down, bring her back. It doesn't change. Nothing shake me. There are those, I know men, if I have one man in my mind like this, if you like, change 10 governors, it doesn't bother him. Because the governor needs him, he doesn't need the governor. Whichever governor comes, we talk to him. Do you understand my point? Because without me, you can do nothing. Do you understand? That's the kind of blessing you'll be going for. Do you get my point? There are those that as soon as a new governor comes, they'll tell you, Oga, if you want peace and prosperity in this area, you have to see that man. And the governor will come and say, yes, I've heard so much about you. We are hoping you'll be able to work with us. There's one man they told me about. They went to one bank, one local government, went to a bank. We want to do one development project. So the man said, look, we are tired of Ohala. Unless you can pursue this man to be the consultant, we are not doing. He came to the man. The man said, I'm busy. Remember, the man said, the bank not agree. They said to the bank, the man not agree. The man said, sorry. The bank said, sorry, we can't. Ha! They came and said, okay, I bet without you, we can do nothing. He said, all right. What will happen is that let's, first, my consultancy fees for consultation, say I'm talking to you, it's $1 million. He said, we are coming. They went back, brought the money in cash, said, okay, Do you know, the bank so tied everything to that man's presence. They said he must be a signature to the account. Even he said, no, I'm not doing that one. The bank said, we won't release the money. Because they know that if he's there, money won't get missing. The project will be executed on time as promised. Such people don't fear who you remove as governor. He didn't come, because whether you are governor or not, he's not begging you for anything. He has a mission. He wants to bless people. But I wonder if it will be only. You know, that's how you know only in this life. Thief. Oyoshi. That's how you know them. Once new governor has come, they tremble. In fact, there are people who they have postponed wedding because good luck Jonathan took over as president because they just removed their uncle from being minister. All the projects that they are lined up, they will execute in federal capital territory. It don't come to an end now. But those who trust in the Lord, they are like Mount Zion. They can never be moved. They are planted. He said, those that seek the Lord will never lack anything good. Whoever is governor doesn't make any difference. And those who walk only in the counsel of the word of God, they are planted, they are like trees planted firmly by the rivers, the streams of water, who bears fruit, not in the governor's season, but where? In their own season. That's what we Christians are going for. Are you getting my point? I said that if you identify some prayer points, there are prayer points you won't pray. You say, ah, God, we are praying for this, my uncle's salvation. It's not true. You are praying that he will give you contract. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Let's read this scripture one more time. Say, the Lord is my strength and my song.
The Lord is my strength and my song.
And he has become my salvation. So the sound of joyful shouting and salvation is in my house. I shall not die but live.
I shall not die but live.
And tell of the works of the Lord.
Say,
though I was rejected,
I
shall become the chief of the place.
It
is the Lord's doing.
And
it is marvelous in my eyes. Let's just raise our hands and just give the Lord thanks. Say, Father, we thank you for the power of your word. We thank you. Because we have exalted you once again today. Be thou exalted. Be thou exalted. Be thou exalted. Hey, I don't want to start preaching again. That's what it means to exalt God. When we are singing, be thou exalted in my life. That's what we are saying. Say, Lord, be exalted. I will not exalt my circumstances. I will not exalt my advantages. Neither will I exalt my disadvantages. You alone, God, be exalted. No one else. In the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we give you thanks. It's been a beautiful day. In Jesus' mighty name.